Everybody has downloaded this latest JAWS update.
Yes.
And it's working okay?
It's working fine. I think the primary thing that was updated there had something to do with math. They may have made some minor bug fixes, but I'm not aware of anything major.
My LSAT Micro Center antivirus is going to expire very soon. It's not all that accessible, but it's worked very well, and it does alert me anytime something tries to open something on my computer, so it's been useful. But I'm wondering what people are using currently for a Windows-based antivirus, what is most economical. I bought the LSAT. It was expensive, but the company paid for the first install.
I have a really good antivirus program. It's called Vipre. I think it's V-I-P-R-E or V-Y-P-R-E. Yes. It's accessible with JAWS.
It is V-I-P-R-E. I pronounce it Vipre, but maybe we'll get the Vipre and the Python together.
And how expensive is Vipre?
Yeah, it seemed to me that I paid something like $50 for a lifetime subscription.
That's awesome.
It wasn't real expensive. It has a couple of different modes. I don't know if you've ever used this, Melissa, but there's a mode called learning mode. And if you put it in that mode, every time something new tries to access your computer, or every time your computer tries to reach out to something that it hasn't done before, you get a request that says either allow it or deny it. And you also are given the opportunity to create a rule so that it won't ask you about that one anymore. I used that when I was setting up my Sonos speakers because I could not get them past my Windows firewall, and Vipre has its own firewall that replaces the Windows one. So it isn't perfect, but it's the best antivirus program from the standpoint of accessibility that I've ever used.
I'm still using Microsoft Security Essentials.
I'm using Vipre also. I don't have the learning mode option. There are different Vipre products you can buy. There's Vipre antivirus, and then I think there's Vipre security or something like that.
Yes.
Or antivirus plus security, and that's where you get the extra firewall. I'm just using antivirus. It originally cost me $59 for 1 year, but I think that covers five machines or something. And they often have deals. Like when I renewed, I got $59 for 2 years. It's not an expensive product.
I'm in the throes of my job search after just completing my grad studies. So I'm writing a lot of cover letters and tweaking my resume to coincide with a particular position. I learned how to create PDF documents from the promote course that I was in. And I thought I had it down to a science, but then I just discovered a couple of days ago when I had a placement recruiter look at my resume and a cover letter that I had just sent out, that line spacing issues was still present. I thought I had set up my Word document, the original Word document, line spacing correctly. And then when I formatted it into PDF, it appeared to be okay. My reader was reading it as though it were okay. Sent them off only to find out that there were line spacing issues. And of course, you know, this is not going to make me look very good to be hiring managers. So is there any way for me to really be able to identify what is happening? I do the insert F1 constantly, you know, where I have text on lines and paragraphs, but I'm still not able to catch them.
My first recommendation, as an immediate stopgap, would be to find somebody that actually does this stuff relatively professionally, who can see. Go to them and ask them to help you with it.
When your resume is finished and you think it's perfect, don't dare send it out until you have a second person look at it, because there are things that you'll think were fine because you're pretty sure they were, but somebody else will catch them.
Let's look at the formatting issue. Let's think about PDFs in general. Why did Adobe create a bloatable document format in any, you know, probably WordPerfect format that was common back then? They did not have those fonts and typefaces installed in their computer, and it would botch it up horribly. So what Adobe did was wanted to create a document format that was portable, hence the P in portable document format, which encapsulated all those typefaces, all that fancy stuff, so it would go along with the document. You wouldn't have to have anything installed. So you gave us an important clue when you said that on your end, You had someone look at it. It looked good. Didn't it? Mm-hmm. So what happened is that you saved as a PDF. Still looks good on your end. Everything's fine. You send it to person X out there in the wild, but something changed along the way. What happened is that they have to open that document in something on their computer. Either Adobe Vita or one, commonly these days, even Microsoft Word. They're a default page setup. I mean, their margins, their page size is different. So it will take your encapsulated document, which is all set up perfect, look good on your side, and it will try to reformat that for whatever their default printer is. Try doing this. If anyone has an inkjet printer, format a document in Word on your in your computer with your default printer, send it to someone with a laser printer, or vice versa. And Word will actually complain that it has to readjust the margins on you. This is what's going on. It's nothing you would do.
It's interesting because when I send my resume and cover letter online, some of those employers, they will tell you, you know, to send it in a Word format because their computer is going to be formatted.
There you go.
You know, so that's yeah. fine. But then another 50% of employers will say, we only accept resumes and cover letters in a PDF.
Well, I think there's two things that you could do that may mitigate the effect.
Okay.
A, you could start your formatting with the worst case scenario, with a page size that is smaller than what you have set up already. So that will actually eliminate any potential of, say, you send someone that's with a print area of 7.5 inches and their print is only set up for 7 inches. That would create one issue. The other issue, too, is that...
And I would do that in the printer function?
In page setup. In
page setup. Okay, yeah.
The other thing you could do, too, is that at the end of each line, and this may be what you experience, make sure that they actually are hard character returns. And when I mean hard character returns, I mean a real, actual character, as opposed to just going to the next line. Because when
you mean an enter. You mean...
Yes.
I mean will enter. Uh-huh.
Physically using the enter.
Yeah.
You know, it interests me because I always thought PDF was there so that the thing would look exactly like it looked to you when it got to the other end.
Well, like they're reading it in Word.
Yeah.
They're not actually...
Right.
They're actually opening a PDF and translating it to Word.
If they're doing what you're saying, Frank, they're taking a PDF and translating it back into Word.
Right, yeah.
They need to be smart enough to know themselves that they're blowing the formatting out of the sky.
Keep in mind, that message that Nadine saw on the website, it's going to get mangled, that's not for blind people.
No,
that's right. Everyone deals with this problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just that the issue that we have is that when you send someone something and they send it back mangled, it's easier for someone to the visual interpretation to block out all the mangledness. It's harder for us to do that.
Yeah.
What app would you use or what scanner program would you use to read the number on a credit card?
Do you have a flat credit card?
No.
Okay.
It's one with raised numbers.
So, are you familiar with the print letters and numbers as they exist?
No.
They're very hard to read.
Yeah.
They are, but John and I have discovered that if you know the print letters and numbers, you can make great progress with a stylus. Sometimes, and I don't say all the time because we've only had some luck with it, you can do it with a scanner.
Okay,
I tried that,
and it didn't work at all.
In the printing the card, there's elements there to prevent it from being photographed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can tell you one thing that I've heard people do, and anybody know what Silly Putty is?
Yeah.
You put the card in Silly Putty, take the card out, then do an OCR on Silly Putty, you get better results.
Oh my gosh.
If you put a piece of paper on top of it and take a crayon and rub it, you can get the
That's
difference.
That's the same sort of thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is similar to what Frank was saying. If you have someone that you trust, and then this is just feeling so excited.
You have a son, right?
Yeah.
FaceTime them and show them cards.
No, that's actually a good idea.
Also, Chase will send you your credit card number in Braille, but they send it to you in two different letters.
When you get your credit card statement, that's on your credit card statement, and you could scan that.
Ah.
Some companies now have gone to this new only the last four numbers.
Right. It might not be the whole thing.